began a couple of weeks ago to speak on the subject of prepare for liftoff. Prepare for liftoff. And in that message predominantly, we said that in order for us to be able to lift ourselves off in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, we must deal with the sin in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Read, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so what we said is, look, when we deal with the sin, the deviation from God's law and his commandments, and we go to him with a humble heart, we can extricate ourselves because we put ourselves in a position of not doing things under our own power, but in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can lay aside the weight. You see, there's a weight that we place on ourselves when we allow the sin and the transgression and the iniquity to continue to bind us up and keep us down. But when we lay aside those things, then we're free. We're free to soar to the heights that God wants us to soar. Now, there were three things that I mentioned briefly a couple of weeks ago that God gave me as a direction for this church for this year. The first thing had to do with God is reorganizing, restructuring, reinvigorating our entire prayer ministry. And we've already begun walking along those endeavors. Many of you have signed up to pray for the pastor, for the 24-hour prayer clock, for which I am thankful. Many of you have taken on the commitment to pray during the services so that the anointing of God will be here. And so we're going to be bringing more and more to you about the direction God is giving us as a prayer ministry. Secondly, God told me that we must begin to preach and teach on the vision that God has given to this church. Now, many of you know that I see myself in the role of Joshua. God gave the original vision to Enoch Butler way back in 1985. But God has raised me up to begin to implement components of that vision. And he also has some work for you as well. So we're going to begin to articulate more and more how we can engage ourselves in the fulfillment of the vision as God opens doors for us. And then we're going to look at not only teaching and preaching, but implementing the vision. So those three things. But today, I want to deal with prayer. I want to deal with the subject of prayer because everything that you and I do as Christians must be undergirded, must be supported, must have a structure of prayer in our lives. And that's why our prayer ministry team has met several months now, and we began to search the Lord God in terms of how we can make prayer not only more effective, but more attractive to individuals in the church. You know, God is, he's a fresh guy. God gives us new ideas, new way of addressing certain things. And so he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And God intends for us to use that sound mind in every aspect of our human endeavor. And so I'm going to talk a little bit today about prayer and the importance of prayer if we're going to get to that place where God would have us to be. Now, I'm going to look at several scriptures here, and then we'll be done. But the first scripture I want us to look at has to do with our very name as a church. In biblical economy, a name or names are very important. Oftentimes, they give us indication of the character or the virtues of the individual or the place for which we find in the Word of God. But if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And I want us to look at verses 1 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Four passages of Scripture, and then Pastor will be done. Now I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Holy Writ in this passage. And Harry has it projected on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. But the King James Version reads, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Repeat that with me. Say, truly. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the name of our church is what? Christ Fellowship Church. So when we look at that verse of Scripture there, all believers are to have fellowship with the Father through the Son. But our particular name underscores the fact that that's our purpose. That's our destiny. That's our mission. And if we're going to have fellowship with the Father through the Son, we must have intimacy with him. Amen? Amen. Let me continue on. And John the apostle and prophet writes, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And that's why it's so very important that we deal with sin at a personal level. You see, the greatest critic should be ourselves. No one else should have to judge us and tell us the things we do wrong. We know the things we do wrong. Amen? Amen. And we know the things that we have trouble with. And so if we would give those things over to the Lord and just let him know, "Lord, I struggle in this area, but Lord, not my will, your will be done. Father, I confess these things to you. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb." And what God will do is he will give us an opportunity to repent of those things. So we'll encounter a test. And the question is, are we going to lean to our own understanding, or are we going to lean on the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? And let me tell you something. As intelligent human beings, it's better to get it right the first time than to go through the same drama again and again and again. But the point I simply want to make here is that not only are we to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, part of our name, we're to have fellowship with one another. And the condition is that when we do that, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So it's imperative on us to understand and know that our neighbor, our brother and our sister, God puts a premium on our relationship with them. God puts a premium on us humbling ourselves and esteeming them beyond our own desires, our own conveniences. And when we take on that mentality, God can then free us to do some great and awesome things. But the point I want to make here is that our very name, Christ Fellowship Church, absolutely requires that we walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we walk in fellowship with him, that means we love him. If we walk with fellowship with him, that means we love our neighbor as ourselves. Are we going to be 100% perfect? No. But what I'm saying is what should motivate us is that as soon as it comes to our attention that we may have committed an offense, a debt to someone, we should quickly try to make that right. And that leads to the second passage. Jesus Christ commanded that we pray not according to our will, but according to the will of the Father. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. And I chose to start at verse 8. And this time it's in the New King James Version. It reads, "Be not therefore like unto them." Jesus is speaking to his disciples and those who try to make a show when they pray. "For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." First and foremost, we must acknowledge God as the creator of the universe. We must acknowledge God as there is no other sovereign being. We must acknowledge God as the one who gives us life, who gives us breath. Every good and perfect gift that we have and every other human being comes from the Father of lights. He says, "After this manner, pray ye therefore, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Then he says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come. A king has a kingdom, and he has set up that kingdom with certain rules, with certain authorities. He has certain things in place in order for his kingdom to continue to thrive and to get strong. God has given us his word. He has given us the ability to understand his word and then to apply his word. So when we talk about the kingdom of God coming, we're talking about his mindset. We're talking about doing things his way. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, said we should pray that the kingdom of God come to us. And that not only should that kingdom come and his will be done in earth as it is in heaven, but we also can pray for God to give us this day our daily bread. So when we have the right mindset and we understand that God has a purpose, he has a plan, God has a will, and that will is something that each one of us, God has a specific will for you and me on a daily basis. You see, it's not just, you know, occasionally. Every day, God has a will. He has something for us to accomplish, and that's why Jesus says, pray, give us this day our daily bread or our daily portion. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so when we understand the written word of God, then we put ourselves in a posture when we pray the will of God, he can speak to our spirit and we can hear the spoken will of Almighty God. And then what we do is we don't look into the future. We say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Amen? You see, God wants us to deal with one day at a time. Now, I'm not going to say it's wrong to think about the future and to make plans for the future, but that should not consume us. What should be before us is, Lord, what do you want me to accomplish this day? Where do you want me to go, Lord? Father, what's your agenda for today? And when we take on that kind of posture, then we're fulfilling part of this prayer. He says in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." See, that again goes with the fellowship. Debts, in this case, are not just financial, but their offenses. There are trespasses that individuals have committed against us, and we have committed against them. And it's our responsibility, according to the Word of God, is to, as quickly as we can possibly do it, try to reconcile our relationships with those individuals that we know we've offended, and even those who offended us. Because what happens is we hold them hostage. And when we hold them hostage, we're weighted down. And we cannot ignite and lift off because we're bound up. We're holding on to offenses. We're holding on to unforgiveness. We're holding on to things that happened to us in the past or what was said to us. And therefore, we have no ability to lift off because our thoughts should be in heavenly places. There should not be on this earthly realm. Because if we're thinking spiritual thoughts, then we understand and know that, look, God has already made provision for us. Yes. All I have to do is align my will with His will. Then He says, and lead us not into temptation, or don't allow me to go through testing, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I tell you, that's frightening in my mind. If God won't forgive us our trespasses because we won't forgive somebody else, how can we expect God to promote us? How can we expect God to cause us to go to the next level? And what I find in the body of Christ is there's so many little offenses. Folks don't talk to each other. Folks only associate with certain people of their quote-unquote ilk. And it should not be. Some of us are holding on to things that, you know, relatives and friends did to us years ago. Let it go. Let it go, because God wants to free us so that we can go on to the next level. Praise His name. Amen. So there's a condition there. If we don't forgive men their trespass, God can't forgive us. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Now we're talking about prayer, right? So listen, if we're going to be communicating with God, trying to get direction and guidance, how can we expect it if we regard iniquity in our hearts? And this is iniquity, failing to forgive someone of their trespass, of their debts. God wants us to understand that, look, He has great things already stored up for us, but it starts with our mind. And our mind then has to be transformed by the Word of God. We have to be fully convinced that God's way is the only way that I can make it in this life. And when we take on that mentality, I tell you, it opens up a whole new vista in terms of what God has for us. The other passage of Scripture that I want us to look at has to do with our mindset when it concerns prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Now, many times we forget this first part. It says, rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
And again, I say, rejoice. But Pastor, how can I rejoice? I've been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Pastor, how can I rejoice? And I just got a pink slip. Pastor, how can I rejoice? And I just got an eviction notice. My question to you, are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, it's God's responsibility to take care of you. And if it's God's responsibility to take care of us, all He requires for us is to trust Him with all of our heart, the thing that motivates us. Lean not to our own understanding. There are things that happen in this natural realm that we don't understand. But if God chooses to reveal it to us, he will. But if not, we got to act on faith. And too many of us, we let our education guide and direct our decision making. Education is good, don't get me wrong. But for the Christian, it has to be a life based on faith and God's ability to provide, to deliver, to give favor, to open up doors, to shut down doors, especially when we're going through difficult times. You all heard the testimonies this morning. Maisha's family history, there's a history of colon cancer, right? Cancer. But she was found cancer free. Amen. You see, we serve a supernatural God. And see, the mind tells us that, look, what's happened over time is going to happen to me. The enemy is whispering in our ear and saying, you know, where is your God? When you're in this trouble now, you got the government on your back. You got people slandering your name. Where's your God? That's when we got to stick them with the word, as Christopher said last week. And we got to understand and know the word and rightly divide the word. Because that's how we defeat him. But even if you don't know the word, let me just suggest this to you. And I encourage you strongly to study the word. But even if you don't know the word, all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I tell you, I've had some near fatal crashes. Yes. I didn't have time to quote no scripture. Yes. I had to call on Jesus.
Yes.
And that tractor trailer had to veer out of my path. Yes. Because I called on the name of Jesus and I had faith to believe that he would deliver me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you all have your own testimony. Yes. But the point I'm trying to make is, look, when our heart is right and when we are in the position where we know that God can deliver us, even when time won't allow us to quote a scripture, we just need to call on that name. And God will deliver us. Praise his name. Let me give you another tip. I think I've shared this with you before. Have you ever lost an item? Okay, this won't cost you nothing. All right, but I do take tips. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? I asked the Lord to dispatch his angels to find my cell phone, find my wallet, find my driver's license. And I can tell you, I've been doing this for well over 10 years now, and not one time has God failed me. Hallelujah. Amen. It works for you too, Lorena? Amen. All right, but I'm saying that's how we use the word of God. Didn't he say his angels are ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation? And that's you and I. Praise his name. Let me continue on. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. There's that fellowship. There's that relationship. Then he says, be anxious for nothing. But what?
In everything.
Does that say everything?
Everything?
In everything by prayer and supplication. How? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Maisha said, I had peace.
Yes.
I went to the doctor to get the procedure, and even given my family history, I had peace. Peace partially because of your prayers. But the other part had to do with her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we are praying, you know, in everything, what we're doing is we're acknowledging the presence of God. We're acknowledging the fact that God can deliver me out of this situation. And until God says it's over, until God speaks, you don't have to accept whatever you've been told.
Amen.
And that's why we have to have fellowship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Yes. That's why we have to have a strong prayer life. That's why we need to understand that we're living in perilous times because the Lord is at hand. There's not a week that goes by that some tragedy happens. Isn't that right? Some natural disaster, some major figure gets shot. Somebody is dealing with a tremendous amount of drama. And that's just a sign that Jesus Christ can come at any time. And so we need to get it right, because I'm telling you, folks, I want my blessings.
Amen.
And I want the blessings for this fellowship.
Amen.
What good are the blessings when we are up in heaven and we miss meeting the blessings that God had for us down here?
Come on.
So the Lord is at hand. Now is the time to get what God has promised you and I. But it takes his mindset. It takes aligning our heart with his heart. And it requires that we have constant 24/7 in our waking hours. I'll say it that way. That God is around us. And then the last scripture, and I'm done. 1 John chapter 5. We'll start with verse 10 and read through verse 15, and then we'll skip down to verse 20. Again, it's the New King James Version. It reads, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." What John is writing here is, look, we have a sure testimony. We have a promise that if we're in Christ, and if we've received Christ, his life is, we're hidden in God through Christ Jesus. If we understand and know that everything that pertains to this life, Christ has provided for us. And if we understand and know that, look, what Christ did victorious for us, he gave it over to us. And some of us are not taking advantage of our inheritance because we're letting circumstances and situations dictate our actions. And we need to understand and know that, look, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And if he said all things will work together for our good, for those who love him, there's a condition, and those who are called according to his purpose, he said even the bad things we go through will end up to our benefit. That's encouraging to me. That makes me say hallelujah. I'm telling you. Because there's enough pain and suffering in the world. But God promised us that it's going to turn out for our good if we have the right mentality. If we wake up thanking God and rejoicing the fact that he's given us life. Thanking God for an opportunity to show ourselves strong on his behalf. To let our light shine before men, that they might see our good works, glorify him in heaven. That people might see the fact that Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory, is shining through because of how we handle difficulty and circumstance. Because God wants us to be free.
Amen.
He wants us to be free, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I have the mindset now that I'm free. I'm free.
Amen. Right.
Now with that comes understanding of what freedom is.
Yes.
We're not free to just do anything we want to do. We have to do it under the parameters and the bounds of the Word of God. But it's real easy. If you're willing to love God, you're willing to acknowledge Him, and you're willing to love somebody else and esteem them higher than yourself, God says, look, I'll provide everything according to my written word and my spoken word to you. Verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask what? Anything according to His will. According to His will, He does what? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's why Jesus said, pray, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, in my life, so that it could be consummated in heaven. And then in verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, there it is, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There it is again. Christ Fellowship Church. That we may know Him who is true. We are in Him who is true, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ. It's our purpose, it's our destiny, that we have fellowship with God through the Son, Jesus Christ, and with one another. And so we need to understand that our very church name has been given and ordained by God that we walk in fellowship with Christ Jesus and with one another. And when we understand what that means, when we understand that, you know, I can't just say and do anything I want to do just because God doesn't, you know, strike me down. That I've been given instructions in this life and godliness. God says when we take up His word and let that word abide in us and we abide in Him, He says we will bear much fruit and the fruit will remain. That's what I like about it. Hallelujah. See, we're impacting future generations if Jesus tarries. I know, parents, you want the best for your children and your grandchildren. Amen?
Yes.
God is the same way.
Yes.
And He has laid down for us an inheritance. What a shame it would be if we just allow that inheritance to just pass through our hands without taking full advantage of what God has for us. I really believe, beloved, that this year, God wants to do some supernatural things.
Amen.
Pastor, you said that last year. Yep, I still have hope. I still have expectation. I still have anticipation. But yes, what we did back in October, when we purposefully fasted and prayed, God spoke to our hearts. And that's what He told us. Build the prayer ministry. Teach and preach the vision to the people, and then begin to implement the vision. Father in heaven, we thank You. We bless You. We give You praise, honor, and glory. We thank You for loving us enough, Father God, to allow us to receive guidance and direction directly from Your throne of grace in heaven. And Lord, we pray the same prayer Your Son taught His disciples, and we are His disciples, Lord, that Your will be done in our lives, in our church, in our homes, even as it's done in heaven. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, any bondages, any hindrances, Lord God, any encumbrances that are keeping us, Father God, from breaking free in the spirit realm, Lord, that by Your anointing, You will break every yoke in this place. Now, Father, we desire your presence. We desire, Father God, your anointing. We desire, Father God, to allow you to lead and guide and direct us. Because, Lord, you love us. You provided for us. And you've anointed us, Father God, to be, Lord, raised up into the heavenly places. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Lord, you made available to us. Now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name as we continue to sojourn throughout this year, 2011, you'll begin to even show us greater revelation, give us greater understanding, give us greater instruction. But, Lord, we promise to acknowledge you from the moment we wake up until, Lord God, we lay down at the end of the day. And we thank you, Lord, for directing our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I just want to offer right now, those of you who desire the Lord to do something in your life, to come up for prayer. It may be someone here who would never knowingly or willingly ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life. Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in